Last week we kicked off our journey through Lent, a journey to become better prepared to listen for God, to listen for what the Bible calls that still, small voice. A while back, my mother sent me a magazine clipping that noted that the words silent and listen have the same letters. Certainly ties into what I talked about last week when we focused on trying to create opportunities for silence in order to clear away the chaos and clutter so we might listen for God. Today, we consider another way we can listen for God's still, small voice. We're going to look at our bodies. Yikes! Even thinking about our bodies just makes everyone uncomfortable. And now I'm going to talk about our physical bodies. Many people are quite self-conscious about what their body looks like or how well it functions. Some wish that what is curvy were flatter. Others wish what was flat was more curvy. Some wish they were taller, others shorter. Some heavier, others lighter. Some wish for more stamina, others wish for more sleep. And on and on. Our bodies give us joy and grief, satisfaction and frustration. But before all this body talk gets us too worked up, remember this. Bodies are God's idea. Our bodies are God's way of creating a sense of place for our spirit. And within this holder of our spirit, within our bodies, our spirit is most clearly experienced by our breath. Here's what I mean. In the story of God creating humankind, in Genesis chapter 2, we're told, quote, "Then the Lord God took some soil from the ground and formed a man out of it." God breathed life-giving breath into his nostrils, and the man began to live. So let me make two linguistic points. First, in Hebrew, the words for earth and man are very similar. And so until God breathed the breath of life into him, that man was literally just a lump of clay. And then second, in the New Testament, the same Greek word is used to mean both breath and spirit. The same word. So the point of the Genesis story is that that figure was inanimate. It was nothing until God breathed life-giving breath into it, until God placed a living spirit within it. And conversely, over and over, the Bible says that it's the departure of breath that brings an end to life. In Genesis, we read, Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age. Isaac breathed his last. He died and was gathered to his people. When Jacob ended his instructions to his sons, he drew up his feet into the bed and breathed his last. And in the book of 1 Kings, Elijah encountered a boy whose, quote, illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. Breath is a sign that a God-given animating spirit is present. That's what we heard in this morning's reading from John's Gospel. On that very first Easter night, when the disciples gathered behind locked doors, locked out of fear, the risen Christ suddenly appeared in their midst. He recommissioned them, telling them that as the Heavenly Father had sent him into the world, Jesus was sending them into the world. Remember how he empowered them? John wrote, "Then Jesus breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Breath was a living spirit. The Holy Spirit was the breath of life. And so it follows that being more mindful of our breath is a way to become more aware of God's Spirit living within us and seeking to work in the world through us. Mindful breathing could be another avenue for listening for God's still, small voice. Many years ago, I was part of an eclectic group taking an 8-week class guided by a life coach who helped each of us work on personal goals. I was working on overcoming procrastination. And someday I'll finish the homework for that course. There was this fellow in the group, he was probably about 70, maybe 75, whose goal, this is what he said, his goal was to breathe better. And I remember, what? Breathing? You are breathing. Unless you have a medical condition, what could you possibly do to be a better breather? Since then, I've learned a little bit more about this thing that each of us does about 26,000 times a day. At standard room temperature and pressure, you are breathing in roughly 25 sextillion molecules every time you take a breath. That's 25 with 21 zeros behind it. 25 sextillion. Retired theoretical physicist Lawrence Krauss used to teach at Case Western Reserve University, and Professor Krauss supports the theory that the molecules that we breathe are redistributed evenly in our atmosphere within a number of centuries. And if that's the case, he argues for a mathematical probability that more than 99 out of 100 of our breaths will contain molecules breathed by Caesar and Cleopatra and, yes, even Jesus. Fortunately, we rarely have to think about our breathing, but for a moment, let's do that. Most of the time, most of us breathe through the mouth shallowly, using just the top part of our lungs. And that shallow breathing, I've learned, leads to our rib cage becoming more rigid than it's intended to be. But if we learn to breathe through our nose and to breathe more deeply using our abdominal muscles and our diaphragm, our ribs and our spine, to which they're attached, they remain more flexible. Who knew that breathing could help your back? What's more, slower, deeper breathing through your nose rather than your mouth has a calming effect. As you focus on your breath, your thoughts settle down and your mind becomes calmer and clear. At some point in his career, actor Yul Brynner realized that. to calm himself down before going on stage, he would always be seen leaning against a backstage wall, engaging in some slow, deep breathing through his nose. Maybe your doctor has asked you to take a couple deep breaths before checking your blood pressure. I know mine has. Or maybe you found yourself taking a few deep breaths before you have to have a difficult conversation. Now, I'm not trying to go all mystical on you, suggesting that you adopt the meditation practices of a Buddhist monk or a Hindu swami, but a simple practice of learning to focus on your breathing occasionally. This can be a tool, a practice that helps you calm your body and calm your mind. The great thing is you don't need to call attention to yourself. You can do this subtly and quietly with your eyes open or closed. You can do it wherever you are. In the car, in the shower, in the TSA line at the airport, in your church pew. You don't need special clothing or equipment to focus on your breathing, so if you were looking for a reason to go shopping, I'm sorry, this isn't it. And you can do it for 5 seconds, 5 minutes, whatever you choose. And when you do that, when you focus on God's Spirit flowing through you with every deep breath that you draw in and then let out, you clear away some of the clutter of thoughts, the flurry of activities. You create this space of calm and peace, where you can be more attuned to listening for God's still, small voice. You might discern God speaking encouragement to help you face a challenge that you're looking at. Or you might sense God offering you comfort in your time of sorrow, or hope to lift you out of your place of discouragement. You might hear whispers of godly guidance as you try to discern your next steps. Focusing on God's Spirit bringing life to you with every breath, you'll see why St. Paul called our bodies not just a home, but a temple of the Holy Spirit. Instead of fighting the appearance and the functions and limitations of your physical body, your God-given body can help you listen for the working of God's Spirit, God's living breath within you. And whenever you think of the psalmist's call to every being in heaven and earth, that call to let everything that breathes praise the Lord, you'll be part of that chorus of praise to God. Amen.